In terms of the gay community, I have so many gay friends, and this is my way of thanking the gay community for being a huge part of my career and success. And, you know, you gravitate to where the love is. The gay community shows me a lot of love, man, and I'm happy to give it back.
We're schizo, schizo, schizo gays, gay all night and straight all day.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Same-gender matrimony thaws in the Yukon, U.S. Republicans want to stifle activist judges, and Xena's Lucy Lawless whips up consciousness and money for queer causes. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 17, 2004. The Yukon this week became the fourth Canadian region to open legal marriage to same-gender couples. Yukon Judge Peter McIntyre followed the top courts of Ontario, British Columbia, and Quebec as he declared it wrong and discriminatory to restrict marriage to heterosexual couples. The case was brought by Stephen Dunbar and Rob Edge, a couple for 2 years, after they were denied a marriage license in January. They held a church wedding in Whitehorse 2 days after Judge McIntyre announced his decision. Yukon Premier Dennis Fenty said there was no reason to appeal McIntyre's ruling, and his government's attorneys even agreed in court that the common law restriction of marriage to a man and a woman is discriminatory. But the territory had hoped to sidestep the question until the Supreme Court of Canada or the federal legislature have decided it for the nation. Officials had tried to convince Dunbar and Edge to marry by the ancient church method of publishing the bans of marriage and holding a ceremony, promising a retroactive license once the national situation is resolved. Use of the bans had been part of the landmark Ontario marriage lawsuit. But the men said they wanted to obtain a marriage license just like any other couple that's getting married would do. The Supreme Court of Canada is scheduled to hold hearings in October on questions the Canadian government wanted clarified before introducing a bill in Parliament to open marriage to gay and lesbian couples.
A proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution saying marriage in the United States shall consist only of the union of a man and a woman died in the National Senate this week. Since the Constitution was first ratified in the 18th century, it has left marriage in the hands of the states, not the federal government. It was obvious, even before the debate, that the so-called Federal Marriage Amendment would not win the needed two-thirds majority of 67 votes, with only about 40 senators expected to support it. But the FMA itself never came up for an up-and-down vote, although the minority Democrats had agreed to one. There was division among FMA's Republican supporters regarding a second sentence that some believed would further stop states from creating civil unions and domestic partnerships, so the majority party's leadership wanted to present two versions.
More typically, such an issue would have been resolved in committee, but although the Senate Judiciary Committee held hearings on the FMA, it never held a vote to advance it to the Senate floor. Human Rights Campaign head Cheryl Jakes commented, "I think it is outrageous and frankly surreal that at the 11th hour in this debate, they are literally rewriting the Constitution on the back of a napkin."
The Democrats had conditioned their cooperation on the FMA being considered without amendments being offered and would not agree to taking up two versions. So the only vote that was held was on a procedural move that needed 60 votes to keep the FMA alive, a move that had more Republican support than the FMA itself. Only 48 senators voted to advance the FMA, while 50 voted to block it. Three Democrats joined most Republicans in voting to advance, and six Republicans joined most Democrats and the Senate's lone independent in voting to block. The only two senators not participating were the Democrats' presumptive nominees for president and vice president, John Kerry and John Edwards. Each said he would have returned to Washington to vote against the amendment itself, but since it was only a procedural vote, they continued campaigning in other cities.
Despite the weak outcome, there were 3 days of debate that allowed a parade of Republican senators to declare their support for marriage and for children having a mother and a father, and in some cases, notably Pennsylvanian Rick Santorum, their lack of hatred. The Democrats denied any need for the amendment and denounced its consideration as politically motivated, divisive, and unproductive. But there were also a handful of Republican senators who were vocally opposed to amending the federal Constitution in this way at this time, including John McCain of Arizona, who'd vied with George W. Bush for the party's presidential nomination in 2000.
President Bush issued a statement that he was deeply disappointed that the effort to pass a constitutional amendment affirming the sanctity of marriage as being between a man and a woman was temporarily blocked in the Senate. FMA's lead Senate sponsor, Colorado Republican Wayne Allard, said supporters had always seen this as the opening round in what would be a long process and promised the proposal would be reintroduced.
The U.S. House of Representatives, expected to take up FMA in September, is already working on the next moves against marriage equality. Republican representative from Indiana John Hostetler has introduced what he named the Marriage Protection Act, described as a jurisdiction-stripping bill designed to stop federal courts from taking up lawsuits for same-gender marriage. This might appear to many to violate the Constitution's separation of powers among the legislative, judicial, and executive branches, but supporters argue that the Constitution itself creates only the U.S. Supreme Court, while authorizing the Congress to ordain and establish lower federal courts, and so perhaps to define their jurisdictions. Conservative Republicans, so often heard routinely criticizing judges as activists, are eager to use this tactic on other issues as well, including abortion rights. Meanwhile, the annual federal funding that's the main support of the city of Washington, D.C., a traditional political football, could well come this year with a requirement that the city deny recognition to gay and lesbian marriages.
And the list continues to grow of U.S. states where voters will be considering amending their constitutions to deny same-gender marriages. Montana was added this week, and some predict there could be 15 such state ballots this year. These initiatives are widely viewed as a means to motivate the religious right to go to the polls, with their turnout generally benefiting Republicans.
Australian gay and lesbian activists were quick to use the U.S. Senate's defeat of the federal marriage amendment as an example for their own federal legislators to follow, with Prime Minister John Howard's bill against marriage and adoption by same-gender couples. That bill has been referred for a Senate inquiry, despite the government's attempts to fast-track it. But the Australian state of Victoria may be losing its first openly gay member of its state parliament, Andrew Alexander. He stepped down from the state Liberal Party's front bench this week after hitting four parked cars while admittedly driving drunk. It's a major embarrassment for a man who was a vocal campaigner against drug and alcohol abuse. He's not yet been charged for drunk driving, but is believed to have done $100,000 worth of damage in the accident. He's publicly apologized for his behavior, but his political future is uncertain.
The maiden outing for Our Family Vacations, organized by openly partnered lesbian mother and high-profile U.S. celebrity Rosie O'Donnell, was a cruise this week for gay and lesbian couples and their children. They were welcomed at stops down the U.S. East Coast, and in very gay Key West, Florida, they were given a parade and a key to the city. But it was a different story when they arrived in the Bahamas, where more than five dozen Nassau locals were at the pier with signs reading, "If you're openly gay, stay away." The protest was organized by two churches, although a third equally opposed church decided not to participate. Police were in control and the demonstration was peaceful enough, but most passengers were discouraged from going ashore. Reportedly, the U.S. Embassy sent a notice of official concern for their safety to the Bahamian government.
There's a much uglier threat to gay safety in Jamaica, but the recent brutal murder of the island's leading gay activist apparently has sparked some more appropriate police response to homophobic violence. This week, police are looking for superstar singer Buju Banton in connection with a late June armed gang attack on gay men in a private home. Banton's Boom Bye Bye is one of the most notorious of Jamaica's songs explicitly advocating violence and murder against gay men, and he's long been a subject of protest by Britain's direct action group Outrage. But allegedly this time he went beyond singing to joining about a dozen others in acting out that violence.
And finally, there was one surprise in the midst of the U.S. debate on prohibiting gay and lesbian marriage this week. Liz Cheney, wife of Vice President Dick Cheney, diverged from the president's position in a national television appearance. The Cheneys' positions have long been of particular interest because their daughter Mary is a lesbian with a long-term partner. It seems Lynn still hews to the position her husband held in 2000 before he was elected on the ticket with Bush. Dick Cheney has more recently officially declared his support for his president's position, which of course is that there should be a constitutional amendment restricting marriage to heterosexual couples. But Lynn Cheney said on CNN's Late Edition that, "I thought that the formulation he used in 2000 was very good. First of all, to be clear that people should be free to enter into their relationships that they choose, and secondly, to recognize that what's historically been the situation, that when it comes to conferring legal status on relationships, that is a matter left to the states." California Democrat Barbara Boxer couldn't resist bringing this tidbit onto the Senate floor, asserting, "This constitutional amendment is divisive for this country. It's even divided Lynn Cheney from Dick Cheney."
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 17th, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
This whole sanctity of marriage thing just pisses me off, really. Any two human beings who love and respect one another should participate fully in the rights of every other relationship, and let's question ourselves, for God's sake.
An ancient mythical super Hera's alter ego battles tyranny and injustice in the real life present. The warrior princess reigns again.
I would absolutely consider doing a Xena move. I'm ready. I'm ready to work again.
Later in the program. Long before Grandmaster Flash's The Message, there was the gay and polysexual rap of Age of Consent. That's a fact not widely known, so the group that rocked Los Angeles in the early 80s has just released a retrospective CD, Old School on the Down Low, as evidence of its trailblazing work. Age of Consent's politics ranged from radical feminism to anti-Reaganism, but their sharp critiques of queer life, like schizo rap, made for some of their most controversial material.
We were rapping in a club just the other night, when my eyes came to rest on a curious sight. It was a pair of clones giving me the eye. It took me a minute till I knew just why. They were dressed in Adidas and 501, but tall short sleeves, red hankies on their buns. The work of these two, as it turns out, but the way they were dressed, I had my doubts. My look of surprise gave way to a frown, and at the end of our set, I walked down to where they were at. I guess I couldn't hide the way that I was feeling inside, so I thought those two would be the type to say,
"Dude, here he comes, spilling his gripes,
strolling up a new romantic track,
putting us down cause we're clones out back."
Well, let me explain my bone of contention. It's the fact that you're schizo, I think I should mention. You come to work in suits and ties, but off hours you're much more casual, guys. I swear the transformation is so complete, no one would know you if they saw you on the street. At work you're straight, and I don't mean just straight laced. You deny you're gay, and it's just too fake.
We're schizo, schizo, schizo gays. We're gay all night and straight all day. Schizo, schizo, schizo gays. We can't see it any other way.
Well, at the office when we talk, it's in tone so hushed you can't be heard, almost makes me blush. Even when you whisper, you gotta cover it up by calling he or she. Makes me wanna throw up. At the gym every day, you build up your bod, but to the boys in the bars, you don't give a nod. You try so hard to put on a butch act, and it's merely this, merely that. Well, I gotta admire the way it's so ingrained into your character, and you're not even ashamed. Put yourself down for being gay by playing at hetero every day.
We're schizo, schizo, schizo gays. Gay all night and straight all day. Schizo, schizo, schizo gays. We can't see it any other way.
You know what's really ironic about this sham that you put on each day according to plan? Is the space at work don't even give a damn if you sleep with a woman or sleep with a man. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you don't even see that you don't have to hide. Straights may never know what they've missed if you insist on acting like this. S-C-H-I-Z-O, add it all up and it spells schizo. Closet case, two-faced, double-faced, what a waste. You don't feel good because you won't let go.
We're schizo, schizo, schizo gays. Gay all night and straight all day. Schizo, schizo, schizo gays. We can't see it any other way.
I've been hearing you guys saying this. It's your facade that's the real bitch. If you could be yourselves, you wouldn't have to hide from whatever is scaring you inside.
That was Schizo Rap by the queer 80s trio Age of Consent. For information about their new retrospective CD, Old School on the Down Low, check out their website at ageofconsentrap.com.
2003 was a queer year to remember, and you can keep it alive forever thanks to three very special CDs from This Way Out. Steve Pride recalls the most notable queer-themed offerings on the big and small screen.
Actually contains no sinking ocean liners, no high-speed car chases.
My film is about a few years that I spent pretending to be somebody else before I went to prison.
We're friends of 43 years, and we're lovers of 27 years.
It centers around a gay male couple who are enforcers for the mafia.
You wouldn't even think, you know, 20 years ago, that you ever would have this many gay and lesbian films.
Our film is about Byron Russell, this gay African-American civil rights hero.
This is a queer buddy movie.
It's a social, gender, sexuality, drama comedy.
Why are you hiding in the potting shed?
I wasn't hiding.
It's all about identity. It's all about visibility.
The producers of Audiophile choose their favorite out music.
I want to double my wardrobe. Leave the seat up late at night.
Say a prayer for me, Sarah.
I like a man who is crazy about me.
Ginger's my favorite thing.
I listen to the wind, of my soul.
Best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike.
And there's an audio scrapbook of the biggest queer news stories of 2003.
It says intended bridegroom and intended bride. How are intended spouse and intended spouse?
The Supreme Court says that we matter and we're valuable.
Being gay is not a crime.
To press forward with this consecration will be to turn our backs on Almighty God.
It's not about me. It's about so many other people at the margins.
Finally, all families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will have the opportunity to be equal families under the law.
Your collection of all things GLB&T won't be complete without these compilations of the year's queer politics and culture. For all the details, log on to thiswayout.org.
In a time of ancient gods, warlords, and kings, a land in turmoil cried out for a hero. She was Xena, a mighty princess forged in the heat of battle.
Working for gay, lesbian, bi, and trans rights has been a big part of Lucy Lawless's life ever since the community established itself among her most loyal subjects during her reign as television's Xena Warrior Princess. Her efforts recently brought the New Zealand native to Los Angeles for a special Pride event. Guest interviewer Jennifer Pizer, senior staff attorney with the Western Regional Office of Lambda Legal, had a chance to chat with Lawless about her work with the GLBT running group Frontrunners and other queer organizations, The Marriage Issue, Women Warriors, and a Xena movie.
Kia ora, Lucy. Welcome.
Kia ora. Tēnā koutou katoa.
Little Kiwi. Kiwi flavor.
A little Māori for you.
So it's great to have this chance to talk with you about your very important role as the celebrity starter of the Los Angeles Frontrunners' 23rd annual run walk for gay and lesbian pride in West Hollywood.
Folks, and transgendered. Don't keep it all to yourself, Jenny.
It's true. It's true. It's pride for all of us.
Yeah, I was thrilled to be asked to join and participate in that.
So it's a walk and run that celebrates health and pride and activism. And so tell us a little bit why it was important to you to participate.
Well, part of it's also camaraderie. And the causes that Front Runners proceeds are going to support are about spreading love and support amongst human beings. I think we're really fragmented in society these days. And I really think that choosing GLASS and Project Angel Food are tremendous. It's like the glue that binds human beings, you know, and we're lonely. That's what my time doing Xena has taught me, that human beings out there are longing for connection. And these things are providing really basic services to people who are in dire circumstances, often adolescent kids who are out of home, and giving very basic support like food, love, advice. So I love to be part of something that spreads that connection, that feel-good thing that we're all craving.
Tell us a little bit about how you select things to get involved with. I mean, you're somebody who's worked to help raise money for breast cancer and kids, the Starship Hospital in Auckland, and the gay and lesbian causes. How do you decide what to get involved with?
Well, there's no shortage of really good causes, but you have to pick and stick to things. Otherwise, you get spread too thin and nobody wants to listen to you blabbing about every subject. You can't possibly be educated on them. And I don't pretend to be on really even the causes that I espouse. But in terms of the gay community, I have so many gay friends. And this is my way of thanking the gay community for being a huge part of my career and success. And, you know, you gravitate to where the love is. The gay community shows me a lot of love, man, and I'm happy to give it back. So these are just great causes. Also, you've got to pick people with great track records and front runners. Oh, no pun intended. You know,
that
clearly
was totally
have a great
intended.
No, have a great track record. And yeah, you just pick people with integrity and causes with integrity of purpose. I don't know, it's all about your healthy spirit. I suppose that's the appeal with these causes, is that they spread a healthy community spirit.
On the subject of doing things that have been very helpful to the gay and lesbian community and bisexual and transgender, I wanted to thank you on behalf of my colleagues at Lambda Legal Defense, but our whole community, for being one of our greatest allies and being a supporter of the marriage equality resolution back in 1996, when the issue was not taken as seriously as it is today, before we had started really winning cases. And to thank you for that, but also to ask you if you have any perspective as someone who grew up in a different country on how this issue has been percolating and moving forward in the U.S.
Well, I think it's really healthy. I mean, it's become a huge national issue, and that's a huge achievement, isn't it, in a country this size? I mean, I don't know where it stands in New Zealand, to be honest. We have a transgendered member of parliament. We have an openly gay member of parliament, and I'm very proud of that, especially because our transgendered member of parliament, Georgina Beyer, rose to prominence in a very rural community. And she, by being incredibly open and having a hugely generous spirit and an amazing work ethic, won over the hearts of a very, very conservative constituency. So, my God, if Wairarapa, New Zealand, can do it, the rest of the world can too.
Well, it does give a sense what has informed your sense of participating, because you have examples, you notice examples of what can happen when people get involved. It seems to me that's got to be part of how your choosing to get involved can make a difference, which your work has done. You've helped raise a lot of money and a lot of consciousness.
Thanks. I mean, we love the money, because unfortunately money does make the world go round and buy us the material things we need to survive. But the consciousness is something I would love to be part of my life's mission. And I mean, raising my own consciousness, and it means letting people into yours, you know, and letting other people expand your horizons. But anyway, thanks. That's a nice thing to say.
Well, and I can tell you there's actually a civil union bill being considered now in Parliament in New Zealand and taken very seriously. It gives a great example, actually, if we in the U.S. look outside our own borders. There are countries who are really ahead of us.
You know, marriage always was, I think if you look historically, it's always been a property issue. It didn't become a religious sacrament in the Catholic Church, I believe, until, I think, 1215, when all of a sudden they decided it was a God-given sacrament. But the Church at that time really wrestled with changing what had always been a property issue into a spiritual, like an endowment from God. So this whole sanctity of marriage thing just sets me off, really. Any two human beings who love and respect one another should participate fully in the rights of every other relationship, and I know I'm just blabbing to the converted. So anyway.
But this does show some of why so many people have appreciated the role that you've played as a wonderful ally to the LGBT movement. And it's actually a key part of what we're developing in the litigation, is to show that marriage has always been argued about. It's been constantly changing.
Yeah.
It's the structure of society, because it's property, but it's also control and a social structure that serves many different purposes. But it's always been changing. Mm-hmm. So if people say, I know what it is, it's one thing, all you need to do, as you say, is turn the page, and you see it's been a different thing. But that, of course, is our job as a whole society, is to be willing to learn things from our own history.
Let's question ourselves, for God's sake.
Well, that leads me to another question I had for you, or maybe to point out that in narrating Warrior Woman, people know you, of course, for bringing Xena to life for all of us who love her. But the Warrior Woman series that you narrated was tremendous at giving people, in particular maybe little girls, a sense that there was more to history than they might see. I wonder what your thoughts were about doing that show.
Oh, my God, my thoughts about that show really were, we've been gypped, man. Women's history has been so hidden. We've been written out. There are great women leaders, there's great role models, the great warrior women, real warrior women out there. And it was deemed uncool to be beaten by a girl. Back in the time of Queen Elizabeth, there was an Irish counterpart, Grace O'Malley, and she was written out of history because she was such a foe to the English Navy. So I'm mad about that.
Well, you've done a wonderful service in bringing that to living rooms across a broad area. And I guess I might put a little pitch in there that, you know, there were so many, in particular, I think of girls because I think of my goddaughter, who was probably about 6 at the time when Xena came on. And just think how many other little girls she represents who were so excited and so into the show, Xena. And it makes me think that there really is an audience for a movie. And one in.
I agree. You know, I'm really ready to. It's taken me 3 years to get back in the world. I think being a TV star makes you a social retard. And it's taken me a long time to deal with bureaucracy, you know, arranging things for yourself.
You mean like getting your laundry done and knowing when your taxes
anything,
have to be filed?
Knowing when your taxes have to be filed, paying your bills, getting your kids signed up at school, all this sort of thing, which I never was able to take care of before. So I just relinquished all responsibility for that sort of stuff. And now that I'm adjusted, I'm all of a sudden, I'm rising like a phoenix from the ashes.
Folks, and sitting up in her chair with
it's,
energy.
No, I'm no kidding. It's really taken me this long to go, bring it on. Mm. So I would absolutely consider doing a Xena movie. I'm ready. I'm ready to work again.
We're very excited to hear that thoughts of a Xena movie are perhaps percolating.
Well, I'm receptive, but I don't know. I've got this funny feeling like the world's my oyster because I'm so happy. It doesn't matter what happens. I don't know, I've discovered the secret of life. Be happy now, man. And I've got an AIDS benefit up in San Francisco. I'm singing with the Seattle Men's Choir next year, doing Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Just fun stuff like that. And now I've come back to the States and I'm ready to start working. So I don't know, I'll let you know.
That was Xena Warrior Princess star Lucy Lawless in conversation with Jennifer Pizer of Lambda Legal. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Plansbury, Rex Walkner, and Jennifer Pizer contributed program material. Thanks also to Rita Gonzalez and Mark Armstrong. Age of Consent performed Schizo Rap, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Only you can keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs in the bargain, too. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KMUN Astoria, Oregon, 7THE Hobart, Tasmania, Dade City Community Radio, Dade City, Florida, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please stay tuned.